Okay.
I had this idea last night and I can't write it. I have too many other stories to write right now. So it's not fic time. Woo! Okay. Fandom is Star Wars Thrawn. Pairing is Eli Thrawn. I'm going to go out there on, okay. I was going to say that I'm going out there on the weird chiss biology, but what this really is a Stargate crossover because I'm saying that Thrawn is actually a Goa'uld in the same way of, what is that fic? A Star to Steer By? I think that's the name of the fic. Star Wars, Stargate crossover thing that is absolutely wonderful. So, yeah, alien races, Goa'uld. We are not talking evil Goa'uld. We are just talking the brain snake variety or something like that. Anyway, so backstory of this universe is that the Goa'uld are the Chiss, or the Chiss are the Goa'uld, or they have, paired up for centuries, and there is a humanoid race that is like, they are paired up when the Goa'uld and the Chiss, or the Chiss and the snake, the human and the snake. Anyway, when they're both come of age, they get a Goa'uld and they, go off and symbiotes, proper symbiotes. That's how they built their empire. So Thrawn is sent into the empire. Not only as a go investigate this other empire to figure out if they are a danger to us, but also like they have humanoids. Are they compatible hosts? Thrawn, like the first book with Eli and him, making his way into the empire and rising up to be a grand admiral, pretty much goes as you would expect, at least for the first chunk. Nobody knows about Chiss biology. They all just assume that he is what he appears to be, a humanoid with blue skin and red glowing eyes. Eli is the only one who picks up on the fact that sometimes Thrawn's eyes don't glow, and it's mostly when he's, when it's downtime. When he's like sitting in their bunk, like reading a book, or occasionally he'll like come out of the shower and it'll be early morning before he's had calf and it'll be just like, what? And eyes are red, but eyes are not glowing. And then, like, occasionally this will happen and then Thrawn will get surprised and he will all of a sudden like change his posture and his eyes will start to glow and it's like, okay, I'm on. And Eli does not think anything of it. Eli is just like, okay, I mean, sure. When I stand to attention, I can suddenly go from, yeah, bleary, I haven't had my calf yet, to, right, there's an emergency. I need to do a thing. People learn how to do that. This is just Thrawn's version. It happens to include his eyes starting to glow. Until, of course, there has to be a disaster. I'm thinking that Thrawn is already an admiral, though maybe not a grand admiral. He already has the Chimera, but he still hasn't proven himself to, like, the greater Navy. Like, there's still a bunch of like, why is this non-human so such a high rank, and why does the Emperor favor him, and all of that. And so they are down on a planet, and they are fighting against possibly rebels, possibly some kind of pirates, and it comes to a gunfight. Now, Thrawn wasn't expecting them to be that aggressive so quickly. Either they they being the Imperial Navy, just arrived, and Thrawn is still getting the hang of, like, oh yes, this culture and this art form means that they will do this and this and this. And so they've either just arrived on the planet, or they were going to a new place, like, oh, signs point to this village being a target, possible target location. We're going to go over there and take a look. And then all of a sudden we're being shot at. And the enemy, I'm going to say they're pirates, just because that's a bit vaguer. They can be anything. But the pirates have a bunch of old weaponry. They have a bunch of stuff from pre-Clone Wars. They have a bunch of slug throwers. They have a bunch of experimental weaponry that somebody cobbled together because, hey, if you reroute the battery pack into the whatever, it'll make it explode! So one of them, they think it's an EMP, and they throw it at Thrawn's shuttle. Maybe they're, like, cowering behind the shuttle. Maybe they're trying to get the shuttle to, like, back in the air so that they can get back to their ship. And one of the pirates throws this thing at the shuttle, and it goes off. And it's not just an EMP. It does function as an EMP, but it also provides a very loud bang. And probably, if this was a like cartoon, it would create a shockwave in the air. And for a minute, like, Eli is going, I can barely hear anything. My ears are ringing. I am disoriented. My inner ear has been thrown off. And Eli manages to get to his feet, essentially. And Thrawn is very, very out of it. Like, Thrawn is even more out of it. And Eli brushes it off as, okay, Chiss have different senses. Maybe his hearing is even better than mine. Therefore, this is even worse for him. He grabs Thrawn and he's like, I'm going to get him out of here. And they book it. They run for cover. They find some form of cover. The pirates are still back. They either are still shooting at their ship, or they are, like, flanking them. They're doing all these things. I'm gonna say Eli and Thrawn probably did bring some guards, but they are either, like, pinned down back at the shuttle, or they are, like, or they got shot. Or possibly they got taken out by the EMP thing. Don't know. Don't care. They have no guards anymore. So, Eli and Thrawn find some cover, and Thrawn, Eli's still, like, deaf in one ear, and he can't hear very well, but he's, like, kind of got it. And Thrawn, he is coming back to himself. He's mobile, mostly, or at least he's able to stumble along with Eli, like, holding his hand or arm, or, like, arm looped over the shoulder, something like that. And they're in a local building, or maybe they're hiding behind a local building. And Thrawn, like, kind of pulls himself together, grabs the front of Eli's shirt, and starts talking at him. Except it's not Basic. And it's Chiun, but at this point, Eli doesn't know Chiun. So he's like, Thrawn, I can't understand what you're saying. I can barely hear you. Come on, you gotta speak Basic for me. Or at least Sybisti. And Thrawn, like, stops and is a bit confused, and he's like, okay, like, thinking face on Thrawn, but way more, like, facial muscles, way more expressions are happening than Eli is used to. And he's like, whoa, this is really getting to Thrawn if he's actually showing emotion. Normally I'm used to the one eyebrow tick and the, you know, corner of the lips tilt up in a maybe smile. This is way more than that. And Thrawn manages a few words in Sybisti of, like, I can't feel him, I can't hear him. If something happens, you need to protect him. You need to... And this is very confusing for Eli, because he has no idea who Thrawn is talking about. But he, like, nods and goes, yeah, sure, whatever, I'll take care of it. Right now, we just gotta leave. And they start running again. They're still ducking and covering and, you know, trying to find a safe place because the pirates are still back there, but they're still being chased and, you know, yada yada. They need to get back to wherever they originally landed so that they can contact the Chimera. I think somewhere during all of this, and it might happen during the initial EMP explosion thingy, or it might happen as they're leaving, but Thrawn gets shot. Thrawn gets shot and Eli doesn't notice. Maybe it's a bunch of shrapnel that is, like, lodged somewhere and it's hidden mostly by his uniform. Maybe it's a wound that, like, they have to keep running and Eli is too worried about getting out of there. There isn't any time to stop. And Thrawn hasn't said anything because Eli trusts him to say something. And maybe they have to hide out in the woods overnight. There might be some cuddling for warmth, except then Eli would definitely learn about the wound. But eventually the wound either he starts bleeding out, or the wound gets infected. Now, through all of this, Thrawn's eyes have almost never been glowing. And Eli has kind of picked up on it, but he doesn't know what it means. Every once in a while, there'll be a moment of calm where they're like, okay, I can sit down for 2 minutes. I can drink some water. I can whatever. And his eyes will glow briefly and Thrawn will go still. And it's like he's, like, thinking deep thoughts or something like that. But it always fades pretty quickly. And throughout all this, their dialogue is always in Sybisti, and Thrawn's, like, grasp of Sybisti language is haphazard. He keeps, like, fumbling over his words. Like, he keeps making Eli say, like, promise that he'll look after Thrawn, but, and Eli is like, why are you talking in the third person? And what do you mean that Thrawn, well, Meeth, I'm going to say in this world, there's, like, the Mithranurodo is actually a combination of the host name and the snake name and then the family name. So, like, maybe Meeth is the family, Thrawn, Mithran, Thra is, like, Thrawn, and then Nurodo is the host name. So at one point, he tries to explain this, and Eli just does not get it. He's like, you want me to call you something else? And you see, I don't know the timeline for all this, because if it is an infection, they would have to be out in the woods for days. So maybe it is just him bleeding out, and it takes several hours, but if he is bleeding out, then he's leaving a significant blood trail, and for a while, Eli just thinks, okay, we need to get back to the other village, we need to find some locals, I don't have the supplies to wrap it up, but I'm going to wrap my jacket around this, I'm going to do my best, and Nurodo is, he knows that it's bad. But he's going to keep trying until the pirates catch up with them again. And they catch up with them in a, I'm going to say a forest. So there's some cover, but not a lot. And they are running through the forest, and Thrawn, like, trips. He stumbles, he falls, he goes down, and Eli stops, turns, tries to go back, tries to get him up, and his eyes are flickering. They are glowing, but they're flickering, and Nerodo manages to say again, "Remember your promise," or something like that. And then it looks like he throws up, only, you know, he's actually, it's actually like forcing Thrawn out of his body or something like that. You know, he's like, "Nope, I'm going to die here. I know I'm dying. Time for you to leave. Time for you to go with Eli." And then there is a snake, a brain snake, the length of Eli's arm, sitting on Thrawn's chest. And I'm going to say Thrawn's snake is a lovely blue color, possibly with red or black markings. And he's like curled up on his host's body going, and Eli is just like, "What the fuck? What the fuck? What the fuck?" And he kind of grabs Nerodo, the body, and kind of like does a little shake, kind of goes like, "No, come on, you gotta wake up." But he's gone. He's like, there's a final breath, and then he's just like limp. And it's, and Eli is like, "No, no, 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 no. Brain has stopped. This is not happening. I can't lose my commander and my best friend all at once. I can't do this. I can't. This is not happening. This is not happening. This is not happening." And his hand is down on Nerodo's chest. And so Thrawn, the Thrawn snake, kind of nuzzled up against his hand and does a, he sends him a like telepathic message through that physical connection. It's not a full telepathic, "I'm going to speak to you through this by touching you." But it's the impression of close his eyes, pick up the snake, run. And Eli can see himself doing this. It is so crystal clear. I mean, it's fuzzy, but the impression, it's like, the images are fuzzy. The actions are not. The actions are so strong. The actions are like, especially since his mind is shorting out, this is like, "Okay, go. This is what you do." And so he does. He closes Nerodo's eyes, and the Thrawn snake zips up his arm, like curls around his arm, and Eli books it. So, without the blood trail and the injured Nerodo to help along, Eli does make a better pace, and at some point he possibly, like, crosses a stream or something, and so he manages to lose the pirates, and then it probably gets dark, and he's sitting all alone, still in a forest, just, like, huddled up against a tree, curled with this snake wrapped around his arm, pressed to his chest, and every once in a while he's getting these, like, vivid impressions of, "You should go this way," or, "You should eat something, you should drink water, you should..." Or he's been getting these impressions throughout the day. And when he finally curls up at the base of this tree, he's like, "I don't really want to think right now. I am exhausted. This is the worst thing that I have ever, this is the worst day I've ever had. I just lost my friend and my commander, and I don't know what to do." And he looks down at this little snake and is like, I guess you're what he was talking about. I guess I have a pet now. I'll keep my promise. This is the craziest thing, but I'm gonna keep my last promise to my friend. And there's this impression that is very much the expression Thrawn gets when he knows absolutely that something is not going to happen, but he cannot control the universe, and so he says, possibly, instead of, you're an idiot. And it's got this little, like, dry look with the slightly raised eyebrow, and it's so clear in his mind that he, like, throws his head back and laughs, and he starts talking to himself. Because there's nobody around to hear him, and he's like, well, I guess I'm going to have to figure out what to feed you. You look like, what even are you? I'd have never seen anything like you. I wonder if you're even in the galactic database. Thrawn listens to all this, and Thrawn is very much like, well, fuck. Because he doesn't have a host anymore. And apparently Eli is going to treat him like a pet. And he just lost a good friend as well, even if, like, the relationship between Snake and host is a different one. And in all this time, he's never actually figured out if humans are compatible hosts. Because a part of him, his natural instinct is, take a host right now because otherwise you are vulnerable. And if there was anyone he would trust with his life, with, like, his mind, it would be Eli. Except Eli can't consent. Because Eli doesn't understand what's going on. If Thrawn is wrong, he thinks humans are compatible. But if he's wrong, then he's gonna die too. But is it better for him to just die and end it now, rather than being locked up in a fish tank for the rest of his life? But what if it kills Eli? And so he's going through all this debate, internal debate, and I'm gonna say maybe Eli had a, like, emergency beacon or comm or something on him, and maybe there was, like, a limited range or something. I don't know. Doesn't matter. They are found, or, like, either the next day they go into the village or and get... they talk to Karen and they get a ship to come down. Or Karen has been like, what happened to my admiral? I'm sending a bunch of ships to do a sweep. They are found. Thrawn is forced into a choice. Because there is no way that he's going to, like... The Empire will... He knows that snakes are not in the Empire database stuff. And there's no way he's letting this particular secret loose to the Empire. So he sends a telepathic message to Eli, like, through their, like, I'm wrapped around your arm connection, to, like, swallow me. Yep, hide me, swallow me, just trust me, do it. And Eli is like, WTF? This is already the weirdest and most brain exhaustive, physically exhaustive 2 days I have ever had. And now this snake is telling me to eat it. Is it even the snake, or have I gone insane? Is this exhaustion setting in? And he's just, like, sitting there waiting for the shuttle, looking down at the Thrawn snake, going, I don't even know what? Oh, what the hell? Why not? And he goes in, and it's almost like he's going to kiss the little Thrawn snake, because the jumble of images that Thrawn sent were a little, they translated to Eli's mind a little bit too much like a kiss. And so Eli doesn't quite know what he's consenting to, of course, with the brain stuff. But he leans down and he kisses Thrawn. And Thrawn is like, okay, that's enough consent for now. I can only, like, the blending thing will happen within 48 hours. I only need 10 minutes to tell him what's going on. And then we can make a plan. And then we can get back to the ship, and then I can leave him if he does not properly consent. That'll take 2 hours max. That leaves a whole, like, 40 hours of leeway. We'll be fine. This is the only option. Ugh. So, Thrawn, like, wiggles his way between Eli's lips, snakes into him. Eli freaks out because, again, WTF. But then he's kind of paralyzed, or at least Thrawn is kind of taking control, and he's, like, who is in control at that particular moment is a question neither of them can answer. This maybe sort of wears off, but only about 2 seconds before the shuttle arrives, and Thrawn is just like, okay, no time. I'm going to shove Eli into control of this body, because it is his body. With the strong impression of just get back on board, get through whatever you need to get through, and get to a private place, while I deal with being in a host that is not, you know, prepared or compatible. They are mostly compatible, as it turns out, but it takes Thrawn a few hours to work out which synapses go where. And actually having Eli walk around and answer vague questions and, you know, report to medical and have medical, like, give him a cursory once over and maybe a little Bacta for a few scratches actually does help him figure out what's going on. Because, hey, that's a sensation. That's what that brain part of the brain does. When Eli talks, this part of the brain lights up. When Eli is, I don't know, running or whatever, this part of the brain lights up. When the light changes and his eyes have to focus, this part of the brain lights up. And so Eli is going through his emergency debrief, which is a lot shorter than a standard debrief, while listening to a basic, kind of a checklist in the back of his mind, going, eyes. Okay, got it. Feet. Okay, got it. Wait, what's that? Ah, vocal cords. Okay, got, wait, language center. That's interesting. And all of this in an accent that is mostly Thrawn, but is slightly different. It's like the version of Thrawn if he was in his own head. You know how we hear ourselves differently because our own voice isn't projected. We hear our own voice differently. So it's like that voice. Also, sometimes he uses words that Eli doesn't understand and yet somehow actually does understand, because they are Chiyun words. And Eli does not understand that language, but because they are sharing a brain right now, the concept comes through. Mostly that's a bunch of scientific or medical jargon, because Eli has never done any medical stuff. And so Thrawn is like, how is the heart beating?
beating. That is an automatic process that, ah, I see. That is what's making the heart beat. And Eli is going, I have never thought about why my heart beats before.
And eventually, he is left in a corner of the med bay. And the droid in charge, the medical droid, is just like, okay, you need peace and quiet, and I want to keep you for observation, because they always want to keep you for observation. And he sits him down and says, like, stay here. And so Eli leans back in the bed he's been given, which is thankfully propped up, and whispers to himself, okay, what the fuck? Alternate title for this whole thing, Eli is very confused, aka, what the fuck? Something like that. Thrawn, like, tunes into what is actually happening in the exterior, takes in the fact that Eli is alone and probably not likely to be interrupted at any point, and doesn't necessarily come to the forefront of Eli's mind or take control, but he very much, like, pulls Eli's attention into their mental discussion area and goes, okay, laying out some facts here. One, I am Thrawn, the body was Norodo, we were a partnership, he's dead now. So, this is what you got. Two, I am called not Goa'uld, but whatever we're gonna call, like, so he was called a Chiss, I was called a blah, other species just refer to us as Chiss because not all Chiss are bonded. Apparently humans can bond. Congratulations, neither of us is going to die. This is a voluntary thing, by the way. If you want me to leave, I will, but that's very dangerous. Also, it has to be done in the next 48 hours. Well, now it's only 40 hours. Or, no, it would be like 46 hours, 45 hours. In the next 45 hours, so you gotta make your decision rather quickly. Once a host rejects a Goa'uld or whatever, this is probably a one-time decision kind of thing. Or maybe it isn't in this universe. I can't remember Stargate lore or blah. Anyway, in this universe, it's a one-time thing. He will develop some kind of antibodies if he rejects a Goa'uld. So he's got one chance. Thrawn makes it very clear he does not want to live in a fish tank. But if Eli does not want to be his host, he can A, ask Karen, even though Thrawn prefers male hosts, but he's been a girl before. It was an emergency, don't ask. Or they can figure out some way to send him back to the Ascendancy. That's what Norodo was trying to ask for. Thrawn is all for continuing his mission. By the way, he has a mission from the Ascendancy. It's kind of a secret. They're sharing a brain right now, otherwise Thrawn wouldn't have told him, but they are sharing a brain right now. This is, extenuating circumstances. And hey, one of his mission objectives was completed! Humans are host compatible! It's taking a bit of effort, and it would be better if Eli could achieve a calmer mental state rather than basically screaming what the fuck over and over again. But eventually, Thrawn manages to go, like, count by twos, or what's the next prime number? And Eli calms down. Of course, somehow through this conversation, Eli is glad that at least a part of Thrawn is still alive, even if he is in his head now. Before Eli can come up with, an answer to the question of, do I want my commander in my head? Karen comes and interrupts them. By now, Eli is fully briefed on the situation. He just
is like, I can't decide yet. I need a few more hours to think about this. And Thrawn is all set to give him those hours, but Karen, like I said, interrupts them. She comes in and goes up to Eli and is like, okay, did Thrawn give you any kind of plan? Did Thrawn tell you anything about our enemy? Did Thrawn tell you, like, we need information here? What did you see? Because they have way more stuff than we thought, and we need a plan. And either, and with Thrawn dead, that leaves me in charge, and I need information if I'm going to come up with a plan. And she's a little bit desperate. And Eli is thinking to himself, like, okay, what did I see? What did Thrawn say? And Thrawn, in the back of his mind, goes, by the way, according to their artwork, they're going to do this and this and this and this. Do you want me to explain it to her? I can do that. And Eli is like, sure? And so Thrawn takes control of the body, and he's a little bit wobbly on his feet, which Karen notices, but Karen chalks up to the fact that, you know, he's just been through a rather traumatizing experience. And Eli, well, Thrawn in Eli's body is like, let's go to the bridge, I'll debrief you. And Karen is like, hold on, I outrank you, but sure, we can go to the bridge. Tell me what I need to know? And it's her turn to be WTF. But okay. And they go to the bridge, and by the time they get to the bridge, Thrawn is very comfortable in Eli's body. He's figured it out. He's figured out how to walk and how to stand. And he's standing on the bridge in Thrawn's posture. Like, he's got his hands behind his back, and he's like all standing up and chin tilted up, lazy eyes looking over the, and he's standing in the command position, even though Karen is right there giving him the side eye, like, except then he does the Thrawn thing where he's like, you set up targets on this position, you set up this on this and this. We're going to lure them out. I need you to make a sweep over their forward bow, and then you can fire. Bam! And they're all knocked out. And Karen is like, wait. Okay, I see how you did that. That was a very good plan, but Thrawn could not possibly have explained that to you. And it's about at this point that she clues in to the fact that Eli's eyes are glowing. And they're not glowing red like Thrawn's eyes. They are just glowing, Eli's eyes blue or brown? I can't remember. They are glowing for his normal eye color, with a hint of, you know, white glow. But they are definitely glowing. And she's like, Lieutenant, whatever your rank is, Vanto, please see me in my office. And she takes him back to his office, puts him in a chair, and by now Thrawn is like, what? I saved everyone. And Eli is like, Criff, are you really still this bad at politics? And Eli is like, Thrawn is like, but I fixed it. And Eli is like, calm down, shut up, I'm in control. And so they switch, and Eli, like, slumps in the chair a little bit and goes, okay, so there's this thing. And Thrawn is like, no, wait, no, no, that is a secret. You do not tell anybody else about the brain snake. And Eli is like, you got a better idea? Because, honestly, I don't have any other explanation. If I say that you had a symbiote that copies your brain, she's not gonna believe it.
but at least it's some kind of explanation. And you can tell me any secrets that she told you, and so I can, you know, prove it's you, and Thrawn is very much against this idea. And so every time Eli gets too close to the truth, Thrawn cuts him off and makes his statements very vague, and Karen is having a real time of it trying to decode what exactly is going on with this conversation. But eventually she gets enough of the gist that what she thinks is that Eli has been Thrawn's protege, and they have maybe been, Thrawn has maybe been teaching him on the side, and there's been some kind of knowledge transfer, which she counts as, like, okay, private lessons. She doesn't take it literally, mostly because of the way Thrawn words it. So she's like, okay, you did save us. You did, like, save that, get us through that situation. And it was I could have done it, but it was also a tight situation, and I appreciate that, and you will be commended. But also, like, you are not the Grand Admiral, or you are not the Admiral. I'm going to bring you on, now that he's dead. The other admirals will not like, you know, the other admirals never liked him, so they will, like, be happy that he is dead. But that doesn't mean they will be favorable to you. So I will request that you come aboard my staff. Can't guarantee you a promotion, even though you just solved the problem. Yada, yada, yada. And Eli and Karen work out all the politics. Cut to sometime in the future with Eli wearing a Grand Admiral uniform with Karen standing beside him going, I still don't know how you do these things. And with his eyes glowing. And Thrawn takes care of the, oh, look, pretty art. This is how we destroy them. And Eli takes care of the, no, this is politics, Thrawn. I've got this. Stop. This is human interaction. I've got it. And I ship those two, so maybe they have some weird, like, consensual self-pleasure thing going on. I don't know. The end.